Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, radio, internet, subspace frequency, beaming back from the mothership. Some of you are doing that. We're glad you're here, too. And those of you who are off your meds and you're just beaming back, we're glad you're here. John Deeney is a guy who sometimes gets off his meds. That's what he does when he joins us. John is the president of Management Performance Network. He is has one of the alternative board organizations that you've heard us talk about before, and he's one of our top Brain Trust members. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Always great to be back, when I'm on my meds.
Even when you're on or off your meds.
Yeah.
Hey, John, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is something that I think is very timely. I'm glad you have it on your mind. And that is that now that the economy is perking a little bit, we've always had to multitask in a small business. We've always had too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on. But some of us are starting to say, you know, maybe I can have one. Maybe I can afford one other head. But then we've got to decide, and that may be the easy part, right?
Then
we got to decide which part of this hat do I give to you, and which part of that person's hat do I give to the new person. That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the trick, and because we all multitask in a small company, everybody has something that's not their favorite. Everybody gets behind, and when the company gets busy, it's not unusual at all, whether you're just four or five people or, you know, few of us in a small company have departments larger than four or five people, say, you know, the warehouse supervisor and three guys, and they're coming to you going, we're all too busy. If we just had one more person, we'd all be better off and we'd all get more done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fake. That's not a good reason to run out and hire someone. It's an excellent way to waste money.
Right. You know, John, I love working with big companies. I know you've done this in your life. You've been with big companies. You've worked with them as a vendor. But sometimes you talk to these people. Over the years, I've talked to this person, and I'll say, okay, you know, I'm here with the mop. And they say, well, is it the short-handled mop or the long-handled mop?
Right.
And I say, well, what do you mean? Well, I only handle short-handled mops. You need to go down the hall. We have a division down there for long-handled mops. And, you know, or whatever it might be. I mean, they have somebody for everything.
Right.
And so if you replace somebody, if you hire somebody, all you do is you say, okay, this is the long-handled mop department, and you learn all about long-handled mops, and here you are. In a small business, you got to learn about all the mops, don't you?
Not only learn about all the mops, but most of our jobs are customized to the skill of the person we hire. You know, you've got Sergio comes in the morning and he's basically a delivery driver, but he's shown himself to have a little bit of skill with paperwork and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's the guy that sets up all the routes in the morning before he takes his truck out and cleans up all the bills when they come in, or organizes the invoices when they come back in at night. Is he a delivery driver? Is he a dispatcher? Is he an assistant bookkeeper? In a big corporation, that'd be three or four different jobs.
Right.
It just happens to be what Sergio's good at in your company. And then Sergio says, I'm too busy. You know, do you need a dispatcher? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need another delivery driver? Probably not. So where do you plug somebody in? And, of course, next to Sergio, there's a Bob and a Mary all saying, well, I'm too busy, too. Yeah, but how do you create one brand new job that's pieces of all the others? And this is a tough thing to figure out.
Sometimes that's how you justify hiring somebody, though, isn't it? I mean, you actually see how the way jobs are being taken over by, you know, by one person or another, the receptionist is doing a little bit of the accounting, and the warehouse man's doing a little bit of the purchasing. You, after a while, you morph into those kinds of configurations, and sometimes it does take somebody to take the organization apart and put it back together with the right people in the right assignments.
Sure. The problem is taking an organized approach to it. Mm-hmm. If you hire someone and you hire good people don't like to be idle. They want to feel that they're earning their paycheck.
Right.
And they'll come in and they'll fill up their day with something. You may have the cleanest restrooms you've ever had in the history of your company. That may not be a critical job, and it may not be what you hired them for, but if you don't know exactly what you're going to tell them to do, they'll become a specialist in something they make up themselves.
John, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, John's got 4 points that he wants to make about this. I think you'll like these. 22. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Zabar is going to join us. And Jeffrey is one of our top home-based business experts. After that, Matthew Cartwright is going to be with us. Matt is one of our attorneys in our brain trust. And he's got some things he wants to talk to us about, some legal words of wisdom that he's got for us. And then after that, Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we'll have our weekly Kiplinger Hour. John Deeney is with us. John is the president of Management Performance Network. John, why don't you give us your website and tell us a little bit about Tab Boards.
Sure, Jim. Tab Boards are small groups of business owners, usually 8 to 10, organized in cities around the country, who meet one morning a month to act as a board, because most of us don't have one. It's funny, I asked a group of business owners the other day, about 10 of them. I said, how many of you are incorporated? And all 10 put their hands up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how many of you have boards? And 2 put their hands up. I said, well, the other 8 of you are lying because the law requires that you have boards. But few of us do anything with it. And this gives them the opportunity to sit and share their knowledge with people around the table that have a couple hundred years of experience.
We answered
a lot of issues.
What those other 8 told you was not that they didn't have a board, because, as you say, they had to put that down on paper. What they told you was that they weren't using their board.
Correct. Yeah, for most of them, when I dug into it, the board was me.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I don't know about you, Jim, but I'm not the best at giving myself objective opinions.
No, I'm pretty slanted in my advice to myself. You're right about that. Let's get back to and that's tabboards.com, right?
Yes, tabboards.com is the national address, and
what's
we're
your address
at Tab San Antonio.
TabSanAntonio.com. Okay. Now, let's talk about those. You got 4 tips that you want to talk to us about with regard to when we bring a new person in, and we have to give them, you know, the one piece of that hat and one piece of another hat and another piece of another hat from different jobs. That may be what happens. It might not be. Maybe they'll come in and just be in charge of purchasing or just be in charge of sales or whatever. But oftentimes in a small business, we've got to make sure that if they're taking work from other people, you got to help get them organized, don't you?
Yes, and we have a 4-step process that we recommend for getting through that and defining the job in a way that it can be done, and in a way where you have some accountability for what the new person is doing and what the current employees are supposed to be doing.
All right.
You know, step 1 is to go to those employees and say, write down all the tasks you expect the new person to do for you.
Isn't that kind of dangerous?
Well,
I mean,
really.
I mean, don't you have to kind of set this up a little bit? Otherwise, they'll say, well, okay, have him come in and sit at my desk.
Sure. And you are doing,
you're
like
going to be
said,
doing what?
as I said earlier,
you're retiring?
most people want to justify their existence. If you have an employee that just throws up their hands and says, he can do everything for me, you've got a different problem that we'll talk about on another day.
But what I think you said earlier in the previous segment, though, is that basically, before you hire somebody, you will have already, in fact, before you even look for somebody, when people start saying that they need some help, you've really kind of already identified what they need to turn loose of, right?
No, this is where you start. You say, okay, if you need the help, let's start here. What
right.
are you turning loose of? What are they going to do for you?
Right.
The problem, in truth, in practice, the problem is the opposite. The employee sits down and starts saying, well, nobody else could do this. Nobody else could do that. Nobody else could do this.
They don't want to turn it loose.
But right, and you want to find that out before you bring the employee mm-hmm. in, and they don't give them anything. They suddenly discover that everything they do is too important to delegate to
right.
someone. So first you get that list, and when they give you that list, and don't have them discuss it with each other, have each of them give it to you, you know, also ask them, how long is it going to take for you to train somebody to work on this without you working with them?
Hmm.
If they can't do it independently, there's no point in you delegating it to them. So none of this, well, I'll have to work with them every day, and I'll have to look at everything they do. That's not creating a new job. That's using a three-handed employee where you used to have a two-handed one, and that's wasting a hand.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is have them estimate how many hours a week will it take them to do this. Now, of course, again, they're going to inflate that. They're going to say, well, it only takes me three.
How many hours will it take the new employee to do this job?
To do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, it only takes me three, but it'll take him 61. You know, people want to make themselves look important. So don't
right.
get upset when you go through these first two steps. And the training time, it said, you know, you suddenly come up with a number that says, well, to train him in all these jobs is going to take 2 years, and it's a 90-hour-a-week job. That will fix itself as we go on.
Isn't that first step one of the biggest problems that owners themselves get into when they think about hiring somebody, is they actually talk themselves out of it because they realize that they don't actually have it actually would be easier for them just to do it than it would be to hire somebody?
Sure, this is an exercise. If this person is coming in to take part of your job duties, you should do this as well.
You got to look at this as growing pains, don't you? I mean, hopefully in a month or two, this person's going to be productive on their own. You're going to have to invest that energy and that maybe a little bit of extra elbow grease for that month or two, aren't you?
Absolutely. Training is such a difficult thing to commit yourself to because there's no immediate payback.
Right.
You're putting in more hours, and you're not offloading the tasks immediately.
Right.
And you really have to have a longer-term view or you're never going to get out of that rut.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break in a few seconds. When we come back, John's got two more of these points that he wants to make, and we're going to talk about who is going to be supervising this person, and we're going to talk about wish lists. Now, this is going to also a dangerous thing, John. I think we got to be careful giving our employees wish lists. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend, John Deaney. He's the president of Management Performance Network. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Deaney is our guest. And John, give us your website again, please.
Tabboards.com. We'll get you to Tab in San Antonio and our profiles and a couple of the other things we do down here.
All right. And folks, that's if you check them out, if you'd like to know more about Tab Boards, go there and find out if there's one near you, if there's one that you can start. Like John has done, if you'd like to do what he does, that because that's what you do, John, isn't it? You help these people manage their boards.
Yes, we have 13 of these boards in San Antonio, so we work with about 110 business owners at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat, and boy, as a consultant, I get real smart.
John, let's talk about the third tip.
Okay, after you've gotten the task descriptions from people and what they think it'll take to do the job, the next question to ask them, and this is after you get it, don't ask them all at once. So they give you all this, and then you go back to them and say, okay, tell me about the supervisory relationship and how we're going to measure performance for these tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is kind of jujitsu management. you're using the opponent's weight against them. They have just told you that they need to unload all these tasks. Of course they're going to say, well, this was part of my job. I have to supervise it. So, of course, you're going to get five people saying, I have to supervise different parts of the job. That's okay. But what you're doing is you're putting them in the role of the manager. And you're saying in a nice way, in a non-threatening way, if you were the manager, how would you decide this person's doing a good job?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you wind up not taking those tasks away, they've just told you how to decide that they were doing a good job.
Right.
And you start to get some metrics attached to this, some measurements as to what performance should be.
When do you think the employees start to realize you're onto them?
Well, if they don't do it the first time around, they will the second time around.
But after a while, when you're asking them all these questions, they're going to start saying, wait a minute, are we going to hire somebody, or is this just an inquisition here?
Well, you know, you've got to do it with good intent. If you're running your company honestly, you know, and they believe in you, sure, maybe you do it the first time and it works, and the second time somebody decides to stand back and say, I won't give up anything.
Well, the other thing, this is a good process for them, too. Because
sure.
If they really are good employees, as you indicated earlier, they're going to start saying, yeah, you know, I'd forgotten. We could all do this a little bit more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if the second time around somebody sandbags and doesn't contribute and says, well, I don't have anything to give up, fine.
Right.
I guess you're not overloaded.
Right. All right. And step four.
Step four. And this is where it all comes together. Step four is you ask the employee, okay, now, what are you going to do with all these hours you save?
You've already had them quantify how much this new employee is going to give them back.
Right.
And so you're going to say, okay, how are you going to fill up those hours?
Right. What new tasks? What's going to get caught up? How are we going to perform better? How is this going to make you more effective? You know,
and they might not say I'm not going to take any more new tasks. I'm just going to do the things that I originally used to do, only I'm going to do them more effectively, more productively.
How much more effectively?
Yeah.
What do we, you know, if you're turning around things in 5 days, are we going to turn around in two? And is that really what we're looking for? Does it matter that we turn it around in two?
Right.
Or is this something you just personally would like to do because you don't like the papers on your desk?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps not only identify what's important about what's being assigned to the new employee, but all of a sudden there's an amazing effect. The scope and hours required and difficulty of what they're giving away suddenly shrinks. Suddenly, well, you know, I said it was going to take them 10 hours to do that, but it's probably only going to save me four.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they start taking tasks back and going, well, I guess I could keep that because, you know, that'll give me 6 hours a week and, you know, two of those I could probably use doing this task I was going to give away.
So what you've actually helped us do, John, is not only have we in a sophisticated way determined how we're going to make this new employee productive and effective and better for the organization, but the process that you've taken us through, even if we don't hire a person, has made us understand how we operate a lot more effectively, isn't it?
Sure. In a small company, when you're starting out with what we started out at the beginning of this segment, all of us are all too busy and we all need help. Writing one new job description isn't going to fix it. You have to rewrite everybody's job description simultaneously.
Well said, John. John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen. John, thank you for being here. Good job today. As always.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world on behalf of freedom. God bless you. God be with you. We're proud of you. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.